Well, if you've got a Bible, let's open it to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's see what Paul has got to say about God's church. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're looking at verses 12 to the end, to 31 tonight. Now, by now, you know, we've been looking at 1 Corinthians a little bit last year and a couple of sermons, two sermons this year. By now, it should come as no surprise to us that the church in Corinth is divided. People weren't getting on, and it appears that there are some folk in the church that are claiming to be super mature, super wise, and truly spiritual Christians. Whereas there was another group who were at times envious, resigned, and marginalised. And we've seen this division weaving its way throughout the whole book. Now, come back with me. Remember chapter 1. We looked at it last year. In chapter 1, when Paul urges the Corinthians, the Christians in Corinth, to stop boasting in worldly wisdom. In chapter 3, Paul tells them to stop feeling jealous and stop arguing amongst themselves, as he looks at church leadership. In chapter 6, we saw that the Christians in Corinth were actually dragging other Christians into court over trivial issues. At chapter 8, when Paul is dealing with food, idol food, meat offered to idols, Paul tells them that they've become inflated and puffed up by their own knowledge. Now this is the context that chapter 12 is embedded in. Paul has already begun to deal with the issue of division, as he explains right at the beginning there, that everyone's spiritual if you profess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he also told us that the purpose of the gifts which were causing division, well, they're actually for building up the church, not themselves. So there's no place for superiority or jealousy in God's church. And now Paul is going to use a metaphor of the body to describe how God's people, how we are to relate to each other. Just as the body is diverse in that it has many, many members, many parts, the body is also unified in that all these different parts are joined together. They work together. Well, let's have a look at the first point there. Diversity in the church. All of us belong. Well, Paul explains in verses 12 and 13 that the church is the body of Christ. We see this in the phrase at the end of verse 12, "So it is with Christ." Now, this is shorthand for what Paul writes later in verse 27. "You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it." So through the work of the Spirit, we become one flesh. We are united to Christ. And once Paul has made this foundation, he will apply this metaphor to the church in Corinth. Firstly, he'll apply it to those who are feeling inferior, and then he'll go and apply it to those who are feeling superior. Well, let's have a look at what Paul's got to say to those who are feeling inferior. Verse 14. "Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be?" Now, did you notice as it was being read there that the body parts that felt inferior were the ones that were making the case? The foot was saying, "Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong." The ear was saying, "Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong." And what Paul is getting at here is that it's wrong to think and feel that you don't belong if you profess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everyone who claims that Jesus is Lord is a part of his body. We all belong. You can't say that you don't belong because you don't possess certain gifts or abilities. Why? Well, look at verse 18. God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. The body of Christ is built and arranged by God. Now, that verse echoes verse 11, which we were looking at last week. As Paul lists those gifts in verses 8 to 10, he then tells us that the outworking of the Holy Spirit, these are the outworking of the Holy Spirit, and he distributes them as he sees fit. The body of Christ is built and arranged by God. God loves diversity and he uses it to build his church. Now, this week I heard a little parable from the tool shed where apparently there was a bit of disunity going on. The tools had decided that the hammer was too noisy, that the ruler was inflexible, the screw was way too demanding, the knife was always cutting, and the sandpaper, well, it was abrasive and always rubbing. Then the carpenter walks into the tool shed. He picks up all these instruments and he uses them with his own genius to make something beautiful. God loves diversity and he uses all of us, warts and all, to make something beautiful. To make something that will last for eternity, his church. Well, just in case we've missed the point about appreciating diversity, Paul makes it again in verse 27. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kind of tongues. Now, the problem with any list, and lists like this, is we try to nail them, don't we? Oh, what does that mean? And who's got it? And we can be so consumed by doing that we actually miss the point. And I think Paul's point in this section is this, verse 29. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healing? No. Do all speak in tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. Paul's making the point that the body of Christ is diverse. All of us will have different kinds of gifts. This clock sits on the desk of a friend of mine, and every time I actually go into his office, it's a great distraction. I find myself getting caught up at looking at it, and I sort of miss what's being said. But there you go, I'll put it down because I'll probably get distracted again. Yeah, you can time me. It's always good. Now, the reason that I think this clock distracts me and the reason that I like it so much is that it was designed so well. It was designed in such a way that everyone who looks at it can appreciate every part, every component as it works together to do its function. You can see all the bits, big and small, working together. And I think this clock helps us to appreciate diversity, a diversity of all the parts. And that's what Paul is trying to do here. He's trying to help us appreciate the diversity of the church and its members. We might feel insignificant, but we belong. We might feel marginalised, but we belong. The body of Christ is diverse, and all of us have a part to play. We all belong. Well, let's have a look at the second point. Unity in the church. All of us are needed. Well, Paul goes on and applies this metaphor of the body to those who are feeling superior within the church. Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. Now, did you see the shift from verse 15? The body parts that are making their case now are the ones that feel superior. The eye is saying to the hand, I don't need you. The head is saying to the foot, I don't need you. This group in Corinth who are acting and feeling superior, they're just like the eye and the head. They're making the claim that some people don't belong and that some people aren't needed. And you know, in life, things, or few things, are more destructive and divisive than those cutting words, you're not needed. You don't make the grade. Sorry, you're not what we're looking for. I don't know what you do on a Sunday evening, but Nerilee and I, well, we've been known to enjoy, so you think you can dance. I was going to do some crumping, but I decided not to. Maybe next week. Now, it's absolutely amazing. We love watching it because these dancers are talented. It's just phenomenal to watch some of the things that they do. But sadly, each week, you see someone rejected and crushed as they're told that they have to leave the competition. And that's the nature of the show. That's probably why many people watch it. Not Nerilee and I. But what makes it so hard is you've just seen someone put all their energy and emotion, everything that they have, all those years of experience, come down to 2 minutes of a routine. All that. And they hear those dreaded words. Sorry that the road ends here for you. Thanks, but no thanks. And becoming a member of Christ's body, the church, well, it's nothing like auditioning for so you think you can dance. Being in Christ isn't about how well we can do something. It's all about what God has done for us in his Son Jesus. Paul turns this idea of superiority on its head. He's telling us that we are one body. God has joined us together in Christ, and every single one of us is needed. We all have a part to play. And in actual fact, Paul tells us that the things that the world sees to be weak, God actually sees as indispensable. The things that the world says has little honour, God gives greater honour. Why? Well, have a look at verse 24. God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lack it. Here it is. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. God knows how easy it is for us to be puffed up, arrogant, and proud. God requires that we give priority to those things that look weak and unimportant. There's no place for one-upmanship, self-promotion, or overemphasizing selected gifts in God's church. Now, I want to ask one last question of these verses before I begin to wrap up. How well do you think you have to know someone to experience verse 26? If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. And to experience that, I think we need to know each other intimately. I think it's hard, if not impossible, to relate to someone like that if you don't know them or you don't hang out with them. I want you to be thinking about that. Do you suffer and rejoice with Christ's body, the church? The body of Christ is unified, and every single one of us is needed and valued. Well, let's have a think about the implications of what we've just been looking at. The first thing, love diversity. I think there are two things here that we can take away as we work together as being a church that loves and embraces diversity. Firstly, we need to appreciate that God has made each one of us different, and he's given us different gifts to build up his church. God isn't in the business of making sausages, so we shouldn't be. We shouldn't see our church as a sausage-making machine where we continually spit out little replicas of ourselves. Secondly, we need to be a church that embraces all kinds of people. Don't allow age, cultural background, social status, education, profession, or Christian tradition. Don't allow that to get in the way of us relating as one body. Let's be lovers of diversity. Second thing, love unity. We need to remind ourselves that the church isn't about us. Me church is a pagan concept. A church can't be unified if everyone comes along looking out for themselves. Now, I want to say here that this is extremely hard because our natural bent is to look out for ourselves. And I struggle with this in every aspect of my life. As a follower of Jesus, as a husband, as a father, as an employee, I struggle with that. And what makes it even harder is that we live in a culture that affirms it. Well, we live in an environment that says that's the way to go. We need to push back on that. There's no place for me, church, in the body of Christ. We are called to be a church that loves unity. Third thing, feel the need. If we are one body which is both diverse and unified, we need to be on the lookout for opportunities to serve that body. Let's pray that God would give each of us servant hearts and discernment in what we put our hands up for. Let's pray that we would happily and willingly look for opportunities to serve. I remember playing footy growing up. Not this girly AFL stuff. I used to play rugby league, a thugs game, apparently. And the position that I spent most of my junior years playing was outside centre. And, you know, I was relatively good at it. I knew the position well. And one year, our fullback got hurt. And the coach came to me and he said, I want you to play there. And I did. I hated it. You know, I didn't think I was very good at being a fullback. And probably once a week, that was confirmed to me. People would come and say, you know, you're not really a very good fullback. I know! But I was the best that we had. I did the job. I hated it. But I did it. And I think we need to have a similar approach when it comes to serving at church. And we need to be on the lookout for the needs and fill the gaps. You know, who knows? Maybe you'll be one of the best fullbacks to ever play the game. Let's fill the need. Finally, know your body. If we are to experience what Paul wrote about in verse 26, then we need to know each other. We need to open up our homes and our lives to Christ's body, the church. Look around. That's it. Now, it's impossible to get to know everyone. I appreciate that. But maybe this year, you could throw a dinner party or a lunch and invite a few people over that you don't know all that well. Or you could get involved in a Bible study. Get to know the body of Christ in that way. We need to love God's people. And we can only do that as we get to know each other. I want to finish up this evening with a quote. It's a quote from Paul. This is what he writes. You were not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honour God with your body. You and I are members of Christ's glorious body. So let's bring honour and glory to God in the way that we use our bodies. Amen.